Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. Thank you for joining me. Today, I'm going to be talking about self-disclosure and vulnerability in social media. And this is a topic that's really fascinated me, actually, ever since probably for a good 20-something years. This topic has interested me, not even before social media, even before I was doing podcasting and helping people with their voice. The topic of, you may have heard a lot about, you know, authenticity and the importance of being authentic. And we like to buy from brands that are authentic as well. So when I share this, by the way, this will be relevant for you, regardless of whether you are a brand that you sell shirts or something like that, or whether you are coach, author, speaker, or whether you're, for that matter, if you're a nonprofit or a for-profit organization. If you share content, right, you have a voice, whether it's a personal voice or the voice of your organization, but you have a brand. And the question becomes, how much do you disclose on social media? Now, this topic actually came up for me because I was watching someone's Facebook page. It was their personal Facebook page. And I do, you know, I told you, if you listened last time, I told you that I, you know, had a recently, my baby daughter was born on May 3rd. So I certainly tell you and share with you things that are happening in my life. And I believe that that is important. And from where I stand, that is a part of your brand. You know, if you're a speaker, author, coach, or even if you have, like I said, even if you're an entrepreneur and you have a business, people want to know who we are. They want to know some things about us. But at the same time, I'm sure that you have come across people that are perhaps oversharers on social media. And so I was recently looking at someone's page on social media and following them, and they'd gone back and forth with a relationship and had posted about, you know, how they were breaking up with someone, and then recently had now getting back together. And it was in such a way that, you know, I thought to myself, I really think that this has damaged this person's brand to some degree. And in fact, I had been in talking to some people who knew this person, who did business with this person, and they had expressed concern over just the sort of the person's emotional stability and where they are. And so, you know, that can be damaging to our brand. And we have to realize that everything we post or share on social media or online can be damaging as or helpful, right? And so the question becomes, you know, what we know that vulnerability is useful and helpful. We don't want to, you know, people don't want to buy from a brand that they have no idea what they are. But at the same time, you know, is there a point to where we overshare, or maybe we share things that just aren't relevant to the brand? And I want to first go back to playwriting in my earliest days doing playwriting and teaching playwriting in the late 90s. And I remember that whenever we'd have a new writer, I belong to a writer's group. And whenever we'd have a new writer, inevitably they would want to write a memoir. And inevitably those memoirs were usually not very good, you know. And one of the things I realized was that, you know, in that situation, it was most of us really haven't had a life that is so exciting that it would turn itself into, these were plays and screenplays. Most of us haven't had a life that was so exciting that a play or screenplay would really be appropriate. We only thought it was appropriate because it was our life and happened to us. And then secondly, the other piece that happened is reminds me of the quote that says, love yourself, love the art in yourself, not yourself in the art. So love the art in yourself, not yourself in the art. And the idea behind that is that we should appreciate, right, the genius within ourselves. And I've talked about this before, about Ralph Waldo Emerson talks about how, you know, to believe that what's true for ourselves is true for others is genius. I think that's true. But at the same time, I think we also have to realize that even things that may for us have been major turning points may or may not be interesting to other people. And we have to think about strategically, how can we be vulnerable? That vulnerability doesn't just mean sharing anything. And so, you know, I would read people's plays or screenplays, and I think to myself, you know, I know a lot about this person now, and they've been very vulnerable, but I wouldn't go see this play. I wouldn't go watch this movie because, quite frankly, it's just not, they didn't bridge the gap between their own experiences and something that interested me. And so that's one of the things that I came to in my playwriting days. And I think about that now with, you know, when you think about Twitter and you think about Facebook and you think about, you know, all these other social media platforms and what should we share, what should we not share. So, you know, I have seen people to great effect. For example, what if you're a relationship guru, you know, what if you're someone who helps others with relationships and then you yourself end up getting separated or divorced? Should you talk about that? I think that there's some danger to not talking about that because people may find out. And if you haven't addressed it, then you can't get ahead of it. And people might say, well, you know, why am I going to work with Doug? He says he helps people with relationships and, you know, he can't even keep his own relationship. So in that sense, you may want to get out ahead of something because it's really important to do that because someone else might find out and you want to be the person to really be able to tell your story and you're part of the narrative. So that's really important. At the same time, if you, especially when people are going through breakups and difficult times, I am sure that you know people like this and they tend to write lots of different things and say different things. And maybe they're things you wish you could take back. But, you know, on social media, I mean, you can delete posts and you can do certain things. But in a way, many of the times what we write, we can't necessarily remove everything. And even if we do remove everything, people remember what we said and or what we wrote, and it's hard to take it away. But at the other side of it, I think it really goes to the heart of this idea of self-disclosure and what the purpose of it is. And I think about as well, you know, what we learned about self-disclosure and what I teach students for therapy. You know, when I've taught therapy to students, one of the things we talk about is self-disclosure and should you self-disclose something to a client? And the answer almost always in therapy is that we should avoid self-disclosure. At the same time, realistically, there are many forms of self-disclosure that will happen in a therapeutic relationship. And I'll relate this back in a moment to voice and to content. So there's a couple of ways. One is simply by who we are. So I don't have any tattoos. I don't really, you know, I seem like a pretty clean cut person. You know, people are going to guess a lot of things about me in terms of my class. Certainly they know my gender, right? But people are going to kind of figure out I'm a middle class white guy. They might figure out some of my values by the car I drive or by just the clothes that I wear. There's a certain amount of self-disclosure in the world just by being ourselves, right? Now, if I had a nose ring and I had a ton of tattoos, maybe I would be communicating something else. Now, maybe they would be jumping to conclusions, right? Maybe I actually would be a very conservative person and I have a nose ring, for example. And in fact, they would think I was liberal. But there is some degree to which the way we speak, the way we hold ourselves, how we walk, it gives a certain level of self-disclosure. And, you know, definitely don't underestimate the power of that, you know, that we are disclosing something about ourselves at all times just by our presence. And that's good. I think that kind of self-disclosure is great because that's our essence. That's who we are, right? And as a brand, you're the colors of your brand, the choice of music that you use, all the feel of your website, all that stuff is in a way self-disclosure. It's disclosing who you are as a brand, what you care about, what's important to you. And so that kind of thing is sort of just what's going to happen. You know, it's part of what's going to happen. You don't have to consciously say something about it. It just is. Then there's the kind of self-disclosure that happens just by people finding things out about us, right? So other people may write something about us or say something about us. People that know us may write something on social media, especially in these days where everything is connected. So to a certain degree, other people may disclose for us. And again, that's where it's important to also get ahead of the narrative if you're a brand, because what other people write about us may or may not be what we actually believe. It may not be accurate, right? Or it may be partially accurate. And then, you know, then you have self-disclosure that is a conscious decision to say to a client, for example, you know, I'm divorced, I have children, I believe this, I believe that, I voted for this person, whatever that is, right? That kind of self-disclosure is something that in general is looked upon in most forms of therapy as something that should be used sparingly and avoided at most of the time. It should be generally avoided. Why is that? Because in therapy, the main focus is on the client. And the question you want to ask yourself is, why am I doing this? Am I doing it to benefit myself, or am I doing it to benefit the client? And if the answer is, I'm doing it to benefit myself because I just want to say something, like maybe a client says, you know, I got married at XYZ place, and you go, yeah, I got married there too. Well, at the end of the day, why are you saying that? The reason you're saying it is because you want to communicate to the client that, you know, you're just excited about it, right? You want to tell the client that, but it doesn't really benefit them. It benefits you. Well, I would argue that that same standard is really the standard that I would hold for a brand, for you as a speaker, author, coach, that I would hold that same standard to ask yourself, if you're going to disclose something about yourself, who is it for? Is it purely for yourself because you just want to tell people something? Or is there some value to the client? Now, sometimes it may be a life event that happens, like, for example, you know, like I said, the birth of my daughter. But at some point, you want to bring that around to the client. You know, what is the benefit to the client? Or, and also, what is the benefit to your brand? So it's also about, it's about being mindful. I think that's the first piece. If you're going to share something on social media, a lot of people just throw stuff up on social media and they don't think about it, right? And what you want to do is you want to think about everything that you share tells a story. Collectively, all of the content that you put online tells a story about who you are, what you believe, you know, what you're about. So you want to be mindful about what that collective story adds up to. So number one, the number one thing is, if you can remember to be mindful, and before you share something, ask yourself, what is the purpose of this disclosure? What do I hope to get out of it? If the answer is nothing, right? If there's nothing to be had then perhaps it's not necessarily, it's not even that it's something you shouldn't share because it's too personal, but maybe you shouldn't share it because it doesn't really contribute to your brand. You know, if I shared, I ate pancakes this morning. I really don't like pancakes, actually, but see, there you go. There's my self-disclosure. But if I was to share, you know, I ate pancakes this morning, I don't think that would do anything for my brand, unless there was some particular type of pancakes or some reason, or I was trying something new. But I'd have to at some point bring it back to voice and bring it back to some benefit for you as the listener. If there really isn't any benefit, then I know lots of people do this. You know, they put up on Instagram, you know, pictures of what they ate. In general, if you're a chef and you're doing that, right, maybe that's really helpful. Or if you're a taste tester, but if you're, you know, if your business and your brand has nothing to do with that, then it just may not be, you may be creating more noise. You know, what you're doing then is it may not detract from your brand in the sense of, you know, it's pretty neutral. I eat pancakes. You're not taking a political stand or anything like that. But at the end of the day, who cares if you ate pancakes, right? This is the part that I would love about, you know, reading these bad plays 20 years ago. That people would write, and they'd write these stories about their life, and they would have these details in them that to them were really earth shattering, but to us as the audience just really wasn't. And even moments like, you know, losing your first love or something, we all expect to lose our first love. Very few people, you know, marry the first person they fall in love with and stay with them forever. So while to you, it, as the author of that, it may be a really earth shattering moment, it's very rare that someone has the literary talent to be able to take that and then turn that into something that we care about. So it's that piece, first and foremost, about asking yourself, you know, does this pass the test of what's the reason for it? The other question is this question of vulnerability versus self-disclosure. You know, I want to do a whole episode on vulnerability and the importance of vulnerability in content. I think being vulnerable is really important. Being vulnerable means, you know, I think of the old Steven Seagal movies. If you ever watched Steven Seagal, you know, I actually really enjoy Steven Seagal movies, the old ones, not so much the new ones now, direct to video, but the old ones. But when you look back at Steven Seagal versus, for example, thinking of like Chuck Norris, I have to say that I like Chuck Norris's movies better because Chuck Norris would have more back and forth. He'd get hit, he'd fall, he'd get back up. When you look at the Steven Seagal movies, you know, now looking back at them in my 40s and, you know, I started watching them in high school, he never really is in any danger of losing. He never gets injured at all. Like nobody even gets a shot off on him. And you know, that lack of vulnerability is something that I think detracts from, you know, just using an example, a silly example from an action movie, but it's a lack of the lack of vulnerability of the feeling like, well, you know, he's, I know he's going to win. I know he's going to beat up 20 people, you know, with his, with one hand, it takes away from some of the, it takes away from some of the emotional investment. So likewise, you know, I, like I said, I'm going to do a whole episode just on vulnerability, but the idea is that, you know, vulnerability is important because vulnerability is, it's a way for people to connect with you and to say, you're like me, you know, you struggle, you understand my struggle. And particularly we want to show vulnerability in the areas of things that we, that the areas that we work on. So for me, you know, if it's voice, I've definitely shared about my own, you know, my own fears about speaking at times and my own fears about putting content out in the world. And what if people reject it? And what if people don't like me? So, you know, that kind of thing, the reason to share that and be vulnerable is because of, because it helps connect to my ideal audience. But again, there's an importance between self-disclosure and vulnerability. We don't have to necessarily, the difference between self-disclosure and vulnerability to me is self-disclosure is telling people what happened, you know, exactly what happened in your life. And vulnerability is more about discussing how you feel or how you felt. And I don't think that much of the time, it's the distinction again between love the art and yourself, not yourself and the art. Sometimes we get really self-indulgent about telling people exact things about what happened in our lives in minute detail that may just not be that interesting to our audience, even though it's interesting to us because we went through it. And the idea is to put our own egos aside and to think, okay, what does my audience really want to hear from me? Right? We really want to hear from people who've gone through what we have maybe gone through, that they understand our struggles to some degree, and they care, and they've come through the other side. But they don't necessarily need every single detail of how that happened. And so even in therapy, I would often find myself being vulnerable without self-disclosing. So if someone was going through a breakup and they said, you know, I feel really sad, you know, I might say something at some point like, you know, I can really understand that, you know, it's normal to go through that kind of sadness. And I've certainly experienced that myself. But I wouldn't go further than that. I wouldn't say I certainly experienced that myself. You know, when I was 15 years old, I was dating, you know, Betty Sue, because then it comes, it becomes about me again. And ultimately, the client doesn't really care about my relationship with Betty Sue. But it could be comforting to know, you know, wow, okay, yeah, this person understands me. They've had a similar feeling. And I think it's the same way. So think about, as a brand, right? Think about if you're a speaker coacher, speaker coach, author, think about the ways in which you could share vulnerability without necessarily disclosing every moment of something or going into deeper detail about it. You know, you can go into detail about your feelings about something, right? So you might be able to say, you know, if you, let's say that you are working with people with anxiety, and it might be appropriate, A, for you to share a story about dealing with your own anxiety, right? And it might be appropriate for you to share an origin story about how you came to the work that you've done. But you probably wouldn't want to consistently be talking about just yourself. You'd want to tie that back into the client. So every time that we share something that is with self-disclosure, we want to make sure, again, why are we doing it? And then I would encourage you to think about, is there a way that I can be vulnerable in this post without necessarily being, without going into deep detail about self-disclosing? Now, I know I've talked about, I think I've talked about vague booking before, you know, which drives me crazy, where people post and go, really sad right now, and don't say anything else about it. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is creating content that an example might be something like this. You know, you could say, I'm in the middle of writing a new book and it's about X, Y, and Z. And I have some, you know, I have to say there's some real fears that are coming up for me about this content, but I'm pushing through it. And here's the ways that I'm pushing through it. And this is what I would recommend, you know, if you're working on something to be able to push through it. What's great about that is there's a certain level of self-disclosure that is appropriate. There's a reason, you know, you're ultimately sharing and benefit to the listener because you're giving them three ways to push through and figure out how to come out the other side of creating new content. and you are being vulnerable and you're letting people know that you are a human being. And even behind a brand, even if we are a nonprofit or something like that, you know, there is a way to be vulnerable. There is a way to share content and be vulnerable even as an organization. Organizations can have vulnerability as well, right? Because organizations are made of people. So you could talk about, I mean, vulnerability isn't just about experiencing negative emotions. It's also about experiencing positive emotions. So even with a nonprofit or something, you might say, you know, we are so excited about, you know, we were a little nervous that we wouldn't get that grant or something like that, but we're so excited that we did get the grant. And here's what we are most excited to be working on, X, Y, and Z, so that, you know, so people know that there's a face behind the organization and that you have feelings about, you know, you have feelings about what you're doing. I think all of that is completely appropriate. So self-disclosure and vulnerability are tricky things. You know, they really are. And so if you're going to share something about yourself, if something's going on, there's another piece that I would recommend, and this goes back to my writing days, that you want to share things that you can contain. So if you, for example, just lost a loved one or something like that, again, totally appropriate, you know, on your own social media, you know, love you, grandpa, or something like that. But in terms of sharing that content as a blog post or creating a podcast or video out of it, you want to work with emotions and events that you have a little bit of distance from, that it's almost like working with clay. And if the clay is, you know, if you're a potter or something like that, if it's too hot, you know, and you try to touch that with your bare hands, you're going to burn yourself. And I think likewise, you know, if something has just happened to you, or there's an event in your life or something that's just so raw that you find yourself crying or just too emotional, I always share the story about, this is a self-disclosure one, right? This is an example, doing a presentation on the healing power of humor the day after my divorce and what I learned from that. But the bottom line is, I'm just about 6 years out from my divorce. So that story to me is funny now. I don't feel those emotions anymore. If I had told that story a month after my divorce, it wouldn't really be appropriate, because I wouldn't be able to have the distance from it to be able to work with it. So when you are dealing with life events, let's say it is personal type life events, then you really want to make sure that whatever you're sharing, you have enough distance from it that you can work with it, that you can play with it, so you can figure out what the best way to share that is. But if I had to sort of wrap this up for you about self-disclosure, the number one thing that you want to make sure, especially when we're talking about content and sharing your voice, is that it's really not about us. It's about our brand, and it's about making it interesting. So it has to be interesting for the client or for the reader or for the listener. It's got to be something that provides value for them. And so a lot of times when we think about being vulnerable, we think about doing it because we want to do it. But that's not the reason to be vulnerable in our content. The reason to be vulnerable or to self-disclose something in our content is to help our listener or our reader learn and grow. Remember, you know, I'll say this in a few minutes, but I talk about, you know, the world needs our gifts, right? That it's about us, but it's not about us. It's about our audience. And so before you write out that Facebook post, before you write that tweet, before you make that video, take a moment and ask yourself, how do I want people to think, feel, or act differently from sharing this? If you don't have an answer to that, if you're not sure what the answer to that is, then take a step back and do maybe a little bit of journaling and just sketch out and answer that question. Make sure that you know specifically how you want your audience to feel, think, or do something differently from sharing this. And if you find that you can't actually answer that question, then the chances are that that's something you wanted to share for yourself. Totally okay to share things in your own journal or to share it to a good friend. But when we're talking about content that's going to go on your blog or a podcast or something that's going to go up on YouTube, I think we have to have a higher standard for ourselves about how we share something. And then the other piece is to remember this difference between self-disclosure and vulnerability. We can be vulnerable without disclosing every single piece of an event. We can be vulnerable by sharing how we feel about something or how we care about something. We can share a little bit about, you know, we were worried about that grant, but you don't have to get into all the details about, well, we wrote the grant and then, you know, we had to, it was a ton of mistakes in it and we had to go back and fix it. You can simply say we were worried about not getting the grant, but it turns out that we did. You don't have to necessarily go into every detail. And again, if you find yourself going into all these details, ask yourself, are these details serving the story to make them more interesting? Or am I just including these details because they're interesting to me, because it happened to me? It's one of the toughest things to hear, I think, and one of the toughest things to tell someone, that just because something was an important event to you doesn't mean that it's an important event for other people. But when you find the lesson in your own work and you are, when you do take the time to be vulnerable in a strategic way, it can be very, very powerful for building your brand. And I'll do a whole episode on vulnerability as a separate episode. Until then, though, I hope that you got something from this episode. And as always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta on Creating Change.